Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Nozir Daf Mem Zayin. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur will begin at the top of Daf Mem Zayin Omid Aleph. Before we begin the formal shiur, just a brief announcement. Gemara Markings Shiurim are basically in accordance with the Daf Yomi schedule, more or less one Daf per day. At times, the nature of the Gemara content is such that to restrict ourselves to one Daf per Shiur would be detrimental for a clear understanding and maintaining a clear flow. With regard to today's Shiur, it's very likely that when we finish this parak, as you can see, it ends in the middle of Mem Zayin Omid Aleph. The next parak begins with a topic that lasts until Daf Mem Tes Omid Beis. That means that in terms of the Daf Yomi schedule, today's shiur will probably, at this point, cover Daf Mem Zayin and Mem Ches, and the Daf Mem Tes shiur will, Mirtz Hashem, begin on Daf Mem Tes Omid Beis. With that having been said, we now turn to the Gemara, Daf Mem Zayin Omid Aleph at the top, the Mishnah. Before we begin the Mishnah, let's glance at the side where we have our Nosei topic heading, Nozir Shenitmo Achrei Shehikrivu Echod Mikorbanoisov, a Nozir that became defiled after one of his concluding sacrifices was brought. We've been discussing in the last Dapim the three sacrifices that a Nozir brings at the conclusion of his Nazirus period, and we've seen, according to the Chachamim, that upon bringing one sacrifice, he is thereby enabled to resume drinking wine, defiling himself to the dead, etc. What happens in a case where one of the sacrifices after it was offered, the Nozir himself becomes Tomei? Machlokis Rebelozer v'chachomim imtzorch lachzu lahovi af ze shenikrav lifnei shenitmo. We'll see a machlokis between Rebelozer and the Chachomim. Is it necessary for him to re-offer that sacrifice that he brought before he became defiled? The Mishnah. Mi shenizrak olov echod min hadomim v'nitmo. The blood of one of his sacrifices was sprinkled on the altar, and then the Nozir became tomei. Reb Elezer omer soiser es hakol. Reb Elezer says he's lost everything. And when we say lost everything, it's a reference to the sacrifices that he'll have to bring, even the sacrifice that he brought already. In terms of loss of days, we'll see that Tosfos comments on that even Reb Elezer concedes that he doesn't lose all the days. He simply has to wait 7 days for purification from the defilement, at which time he'll then bring all of his korbanos, even the one that he brought already. In other words, he'll have to make that one up. V'chachomim omrim yovi sha'ar korbanosov v'yitar. The word v'yitar, Tosfos explains, means when he becomes tohor. In other words, he gets credit for the sacrifice that he brought already, and he'll just bring the other two a week later. Omru lo. The Rabbonon, the Chachomim, appealed to Reb Elezer and said, Maisa b'Miriam ha-Tarmoidis. Tarmoidis is the name of a place. It's Miriam from Tarmod. She nizrak olav echod min hadom. She had been a nazira, and one of her sacrifices was offered. Ubov yamrula albito shoysa misukenis. And she was informed that her daughter was deathly ill. V'holcho motza shemesa, and she went and discovered her daughter, in fact, had expired, and hence she, the mother, this Miriam, became Tameah. V'yamu chachomim tovi sh'ar kor b'neiseha v'titar. The chachomim told her that she, upon resuming purification, can bring the balance of her sacrifices, namely the sacrifice that she already brought, she gets credit for. The Tosfos at the top, v'nitlo, Reb Lezer Omer Sosros Hakol, v'lo kol hayomim, ken meforesh b'gemara. The Gemara will explain this point, that when Reb Lezer says Soser that he loses or there's erasure, it doesn't mean the days of the Nazirus that he has observed. Deha Reb Lezer hu d'yomer li'el perek gimel. Reb Lezer himself is the one that said in the third perek, nitmo li'acham lo Soser Zayin, that if a Nazir becomes Tomei after he completed his counting, his, if it's an unqualified number of days, the standard Nazir is 30 days. If he becomes Tomei after the 30 days, he then only has to make up 7 days. He doesn't have to make up his entire Nazirus. Ela Soser Akorbonus Komar. The word Soser, meaning loss or erasure, that has reference to the sacrifices that he brought. For Belezer, Letame, Jomar Begamora, Achar Hamaisim Kulam, Mutu Lishtos, Yain Megalech. This, we will discover in the Gemara, is Reb Elazar consistent with his principle that the permission granted to a Nazir is only after he does all of the Nazir concluding requirements. And only then can he drink wine and take the haircut. Harei kishin nizrak echad min adomim ad shiyavi shara karbonas, when only one of the sacrifices was offered, and not all of them, eino roi l'tiglachas, he's not fit to have his hair cut. And therefore, when he becomes tamei before all of the sacrifices were offered, again within the opinion of Reb Elazar, kenitmo shachris lifnei akrivo af echod mehem domi. It's as if he became tamei in the morning before he offered anything. V'lo roi l'tiglachas kol hayom, and he's not fit for the haircut all that day. Vavi korban rishon shehevi kiilu hivu toch malos b'yomim shelo roi klal l'tiglachas domi. The bringing of the one sacrifice is then brought at a time that he wasn't fit for taking the haircut, because after he brought that haircut, he became tamei. And not having completed all of the nazir requirements, he wasn't fit. It's then a day that he's not fit to take the haircut. And therefore, even the korban that he did bring, he loses credit for it. Now, the Gemara. Kotoni, Reb Elazar Omer Soiser Esakur. Reb Elazar said he loses everything. So at this point, the thinking is that he loses everything means he has to start counting the Nazirus from the very beginning. All 30 days, all over again. But how could that be? V'omer Reb Elazar kol achar malois shiva soiser. But Reb Elazar has been known to say that any tuma that sets in after he completes the malos, the counting of his Nazirus, all that he loses out is 7 days. In other words, he has to wait another 7 days before he can resume his normal lifestyle of drinking wine and defiling himself. So, what does Soser HaKol mean? Omar Rav, my Soser Nami Tikoma Rebbe Elazar. What does the word Soser mean in the quote of Rebbe Elazar? Soser Korbanoisov. It means he loses credit for the sacrifices that he brought prior to his becoming Tomei, but he doesn't lose all of the days. Hachi nami mistabra. It's also quite likely that that is what Reb Elazar is speaking about in the Mishnah. We can see that from the way the Chachomim reacted to Reb Elazar. Dikotoni, it said in the Mishnah, v'chachomim omrim, tovi shar korbanoseho v'titar. The case of Tuma, after one Korban was brought, necessitates simply the bringing of the balance of the Korbanos after purification is achieved. Umaisa nami be Miriam Hatarmoides Nizrak Olel Echad min Adomim. This is what we saw in the Mishnah where she had offered one of her sacrifices after her Nazirus, Ubovo Viula, Albito Shoisa Misukenis. She was informed that her daughter was deathly ill. She found her daughter to be actually dead. All she has to do is bring the balance of the sacrifices when she becomes undefiled or purified. So from here we see that the issue between the Chachamim and Reb Elazar concerned only the loss of credit for the korbanos, but not the need for counting the Nazirus all over again. With that, we conclude the sixth perek of Maseches Nazir and now start the seventh perek, Perek Kohen Gadol. Before we begin the Mishnah, we note on the side the Nosei, the topic heading, Shnei Anoshim, Kohen Gadol, V'Nazir. Two people are walking along. One is a Kohen Gadol and the other is a Nazir. Ezek Kodim Litame Lemeis Mitzvah. We are working with the given, the known halacha, that a Kohen Gadol and the Nazir, two people that are highly restricted in the laws of defilement to the dead, even the closest of relatives are off limits upon their death to the Kohen Gadol and the Nazir. The one exception that we've seen extensively in the past involves their encounter with an unaccounted for body lying in isolation outdoors somewhere that needs to be buried. They are expected to defile themselves for the sake of the body's burial. In the scenario of our Mishnah, we'll see two people, a Kohen Gadol and a Nazir, and a choice has to be made which one of them should defile himself for the burial while the other maintains his purity. Now, that issue will be a machlokes, a Tanaic controversy between Reb Elazar and the Chachamim. The Mishnah. Kohen Gadol v'Nazir Einon mitamin l'kroveyan avo mitamin l'meis mitzvah. The Kohen Gadol and a Nazir are two individuals, as we said, that do not defile themselves even to the closest of relatives, like the death of a father or a mother, and certainly a brother or sister. They will not defile themselves to them. However, they will defile themselves to a meis mitzvah, the unaccounted for body that's lying without anyone else to bury it. Hoyu mahalchin b'derech u'matzu meis mitzvah. The two were walking along and they chanced upon a corpse. Reb Elazar Omer Yitma Kohen Gadol Val Yitma Nazir. Reb Elazar says the Kohen Gadol is the one to defile himself to tend to the body and not the Nazir. V'chomim Omrim Yitma Nazir V'al Yitma Kohen Gadol. Better for the Nazir to become defiled and not the Kohen Gadol. Omar Lohan Reb Elazar. And now the arguments each one offers for their position. So Reb Elazar says to the Chomim Yitma Kohen She'eno Mevi Korban Al Tumaso. Better for the Kohen Gadol to defile himself, because even in the event that a Kohen Gadol becomes defiled, there's no expectation, there's no Torah requirement for him to bring a sacrifice to, we'll say, to atone for that defilement. However, V'al Yitma Nazir, don't let the Nazir defile himself for the sake of the Meis Mitzvah. Shehu Mevi Korban Al Tumaso. His defilement is viewed as a more consequential, a more severe problem in so far as the Nazir, when he becomes Tomei, he has to bring special Tumah sacrifices. Omru lo Yitma Nazir, the Chachamim said back to Reb Elazar, better for the Nazir to become defiled. She'en Kedushasu Kedushas Olam, his unique sanctity is not permanent, it's only for the duration of his Nazirus. V'al Yitma Kohen Shekedushaso Kedushas Olam, and not allow the Kohen Gadol to become sanctified, to become defiled, because the sanctity of a Kohen is something that's permanent. so that his sanctity is, say, on a higher level and must be preserved if you have the option of someone else to bury him, even if it happens to be a Nazir. We have a structural note. First of all, there's a Nosei/Mivneh heading. Nosei, the topic heading, and the Mivneh, the structural note. A double underline, which is one of our series markings, will start appearing here. And it continues down the upper part of Omid Beis. And on the side, we indicate Dugmois Shel Shnei Anashim She Chutz Milameis Mitzvah Asurim Litamei. We're going to see a number of cases of two people that with the exception of Meis Mitzvah, they're not allowed to defile themselves to the dead. Eisek Kodem Litamei Lameis Mitzvah. Just like we saw in our Mishnah, we have to make a choice. Who will we choose? So the double underlinings will highlight a number of cases where we have to make a choice between one of two people. As we turn to the Gemara text itself, you'll notice a long point marking. And we have a note why we use this marking here. This there's a starred note, you'll notice, on the other margin. Nekuda Arukazu, this long point is really Likras She'elah B'Amud Beis. It's leading up, it's a lead up to a question raised on Amud Beis. And Tosfos points this out, that up till we get to the question that's raised, Moshuach Milchom and Sgan, up till that point, everything is obvious. So we're going to have a list of two individuals where the choice is obvious. When we get to the end of this long point, then the Gemara will introduce a question. So now we begin our list. Bishlama Kayin Godol V'Nazir. I understand in the case of those two, so Hai Sovar Kayin Godol Odif, a Hai Sovar Nazir Odif. We saw already in the Mishnah that the Chachomim place a premium on preserving the Kayin Godol's purity, and Rabbi Lezer puts the emphasis on the Nazir, preserve his purity. Odif means is better or is more urgent for us to preserve his purity. Moshuach b'shemen ha-mishcha, this is a new choice, versus meruba begodim. So now let's a word about who these are. First of all, these are two types of kohanim gedolim. At a certain point in Jewish history, in the first Beis HaMikdash period, up till King Yoshiyahu, was toward the end of the first temple period. The first Beis HaMikdash stood for a period of 410 years. Toward the end of that period, the king, Yoshiyahu, decided to take the special anointing oil that was used for anointing a new Kohen Gadol and at times to anoint a king. That's called Shemen HaMishcha. It was also used for anointing the Mishkan in its construction. There's a whole history to the Shemen HaMishcha. It was put out of circulation at a certain point in time. In order to install a new Kohen Gadol, in the absence of the Shemen HaMishcha, all there was left for him to do was simply to don the 8 garments that are unique to the Kohen Gadol, the 8 priestly high priest garments, which is in contrast to the standard 4 garments that a standard Kohen wears. That donning of clothing of the 8 vestments is known as meruba begadim. Meruba meaning a lot, from the word rove, plentiful, a lot of clothing. The 8 high priest, the 8 Kohen Gadol clothing. So now, let us say you have a situation. We have 2 Kohanim Gadolim. Exactly how that can be and all, that's a detail that is dealt with by the Tosfos. For our purposes, though, we're going to look at it in a somewhat abstract fashion. You have these two walking along, encountering a Meis Mitzvah. And as we said before, this decision is simple. Moshuach B'Shem HaMishcha Odif, the Gemara says, at the top of Amud Beis, the one Kedusha, one whose Tahara must be preserved, the purity must be preserved, that's the one who was anointed, the Kohen Gadol who was anointed with the anointing oil. And why? Why? What makes him on a higher level? We say higher level simply for sake, for lack of better expression. But what makes him the more urgent one? The Ilu Moshuach B'Shem HaMishcha Mevi Par Habo Al Kol HaMitzvus The Ilu Meruba Begodim Ein Mevi. And of course, we have to offer a little background to this. What is meant by Par Habo Al Kol HaMitzvus? There's a special section in the Torah that deals with a Kohen Gadol who issues an erroneous legal ruling and then acts upon that. The more, let's say, well-known halacha or situation, maybe some of you know, maybe all of you know, there is something called Par Helam Dover Shel Tzibor. That's a situation where the Sanhedrin, where the high court errs in a ruling and the community follows, the nation follows, there are a number of different shittas regarding the details of that situation as is featured in Maseches Horias. There, a special cow offering is brought, it's called Par Helam Dover Shel Tzibor. A similar situation exists when a Kohen Gadol errs in a halachic ruling. And that's called the Par Habo Al Kol HaMitzvus. What kind of Kohen Gadol, in the event that he errs in a halachic ruling, when would he, what kind of Kohen Gadol brings that? Only if it's a Kohen Gadol that was anointed with the Shemen HaMishcha. It would have to be then a situation historically, Kohanim Gedolim before Yoshio HaMelech. Because he's the one, as we said before, that put the Shemen HaMishcha out of circulation. The Merubah Begodim does not bring that type of korban. So you see that there's a uniqueness to the Kohen Gadol Shemoshuach B'Shemen HaMishcha. The basis of that distinction is based on the pasuk which says explicitly, Vim HaKohen HaMoshiach, in Vayikra Perek Dalet, which deals with that type of sacrifice, it mentions it's an anointed Kohen Gadol that would err, that would then bring the sacrifice. If he's a Merubah Begodim, so he wasn't anointed, he's not Moshiach. Moshiach means the anointed one. So we continue now in the Gemara. Another choice on the fourth line from the top, Moshuach She'ovar U'Merubah Begodim. Moshuach She'ovar is the reference to a replacement Kohen Gadol, where a Kohen Gadol had the mainstay, the primary Kohen Gadol experienced tumah, which disqualified him temporarily from service in the Beis HaMikdash. There is a replacement Kohen Gadol who's anointed and is a fill-in for the mainstay Kohen Gadol, but when the mainstay Kohen Gadol becomes purified, returns to a state of Tahara, so the replacement gentleman moves aside. He is called a Meshuach Shovar. Ovar means past. He served in the past. So you have a fellow like that and a Merubah Begodim are walking along. Which one needs to be preserved? In other words, who will bury the Meis Mitzvah and who will not? Merubah Begodim Odif. The Merubah Begodim will not do the burial. Why? The Merubah Begodim Oved Avoda. He is currently serving as the Kohen Gadol. V'ilu Meshuach Shovar Lav Bar Avodahu. He's not assigned. He's not fit for doing Avoda. In fact, there's a little more to say about that. When the Gemara says he's not fit for doing avoda, well, he can't serve as the Kohen Gadol because there is a regular Kohen Gadol that is serving. On the other hand, he can't serve as a common Kohen Gadol because of a concept known of Malin B'Kodesh V'lo Moridin. If you once served in the higher capacity, it would be dishonorable for you to be restored to the lower level of service, lower level meaning that of a standard Kohen. So this fellow we call Meshuach She'ovar is not capable, he's not capable of doing avoda, not as a Kohen Gadol, nor as a Kohen Hedyot. So the Merubu Godom, who is the current Kohen Gadol, he is the one that's odif, that we want to preserve his purity. Continuing with a new choice. Ovar machmas kerio, the ovar machmas mumo. Here we have two kohanim, gedolim, that have been disqualified, one because of a sighting of a male sighting of semen, keri, and the mum is a kohen gadol that developed a blemish. So you have two gentlemen that were functioning as kohanim gedolim. One, however, became disqualified because of keri, and the other became disqualified because of a blemish, which is one of the reasons for the disqualification of kohanim. So they are walking along and they encounter a meis mitzvah. Ovar machmas kerio odif, he is the one not to bury the meis mitzvah. The ilu hai chazi lavoda lemachar. Keri is a one-day defilement. The next day he will be able to return to serve as a kohen gadol. Ilu avar machmas mumo lo chazi lavoda. The one who is disqualified because of a mum, he becomes, if it's a mum kavua, for example, a permanent mum, so he's permanently disqualified. And if it's a mum over, so he'll have to nevertheless wait. Mum over means a temporary blemish. He nevertheless will have to wait till the mum heals, till that blemish heals, which I think we can assume is not going to take place within 1 day. So the Meshuach, this Kohen She'ovar Machmas Kiryo, he was pushed aside, was disqualified because of the Keri sighting. It's a very short-term disqualification, and he's going to be the first one to get back to Avoda status. Up till this point, the choices were clear. Ibayalaho, Meshuach Milchoma Usgan, Hei Minayu Odif. A Meshuach Milchoma is a special type of Kohen. He's, we can call him an almost a Kohen Gadol. He happens to have defilement restrictions similar to that of a Kohen Gadol. He is anointed for the purpose of leading the Jewish army into battle. The Torah describes what his role is, the words of the words that he says to the public, to the tzibur, before entering actual battle. He has a special role called Meshuach Milchoma, anointed for battle. A sgan, that's another type of special situation. You find in Maseches Yuma, the role of the sgan is explained. He's a potential Kohen Gadol, he's a stand-in in the event that the Kohen Gadol, who does the special Yom Kippur Beis HaMikdash service, becomes disqualified, so the Sgan is going to take over. He's the stand-in. At this point, though, he hasn't done anything. He's just been appointed to be the stand-in. And now these two are walking along. Which one of them will be the one to defile to the mace mitzvah, and which one not? So the Gemara continues, and the Gemara presents two sides of the question. Moshuach mechom uskan heiminai odif. Who is better, or who is more, was on a higher level? Again, we say higher level in this context of preserving their purity. Moshuach Mechama Adif Dechazi LeMechama. Do we say that he has that the advantage in that he is the one who is designated for the war effort? O Dilma Sgan Adif Dechazi LaVoda. Or does the Sgan have preeminence because he is assigned to be the replacement for service in the Beis HaMikdash, for Yom Kippur service in the Beis HaMikdash? Toshma, Desanya, we have a Tanaic source that will answer our question. It says as follows, Ein Bein Moshuch Mechoma L'Sgan. There is no difference between these two. Elo She'im Hoyu Mahalchen Baderech U'motsu Meis Mitzvah. With the exception of the case that they're both walking along and they chance upon the unaccounted for body, our very case, Yitmo Moshuach Mechoma V'al Yitmo Hasgan. The Moshuach Mechoma is the one to defile himself and not the Sgan. The Gemara asks, V'hotanyo Moshuach Mechoma Koidim L'Sgan. This brisa would seem to suggest that the Moshuach Milchoma has precedence over the Sgan. The Gemara answers, and the answer takes a number of lines to develop. Omar Mar Zutra, Le'inin Hachyoisoi, with regard to the urgency of supporting one of them, Moshuach Milchoma Odif, he is the one that has precedence. My time, why is it so important for the community to make sure that he is cared for, that he is supported? The Tolu Bei Rabin, because his role is for the benefit of the general public. Uli Inyan Tuma, however, when it comes to questions of defilement, Sgan Odif. Preserving the Sgan's purity is of greater urgency. The Sanya, Rabbi Hanina ben Antignus Oimer, Loma Tiknu Sgan Lukoyin Godol. Why is a Sgan appointed, the stand-in, why is he appointed? Shein Yira Bo Psul, if the Kohen Godol becomes disqualified, Hare Nichnas Umeshamesh Tachtov. He, the Sgan, will enter, and we're speaking primarily about the Yom Kippur service, which cannot be done by anyone other than the Kohen Gadol. So when the Kohen Gadol, or if he becomes disqualified, the Sgan will take over. Therefore, it's important to preserve his purity so that he'll be able to fill that role. At this point, we encounter the reason for our introductory remarks concerning the length of this shiur. Notice on the side we have a nosei klali, a general topic heading. We indicate that this discussion goes to daf mem tes omid beis. These are drashos hapsukim shel isur tumah l'kruvim b'kohen gadol v'nazir. We're going to be looking at the psukim and what do they reveal to us regarding the prohibitions of defilement with regard to the Kohen Gadol and the Nazir. When we speak about defilement, we're speaking about defiling to the dead, for a Kohen Gadol or a Nazir to come into contact or be in the same room with a common overshadowing with a corpse. The Gemara. Ad kan lo pligi ela b'Kohen Gadol v'Nazir ki ko'azli b'hadi hadodi. Up till now, we saw Ma'a Rabbi Elezer and the Chumam arguing regarding who do you choose, a Kohen Gadol or a Nazir, in order to take care of the Meis Mitzvah when they're walking along together. Avochad chad l'chudei, but each one in isolation, if either one of them was walking alone, bar itmuye inun, they are subject to defilement for the sake of caring for the Meis Mitzvah. Notice the bow tie shape. This is explained under the Mivneh heading. Makoros, the Gemara will deal with sources. Leheter Tumo, Lemeis Mitzvah, Bekein Gadol, Venazir. The sources for each one. Where do we see that they are allowed to defile themselves to a Meis Mitzvah when the Psukim are very clear how forbidden it is upon them to defile themselves to even close relatives that died? Of course, assuming that other people will take care of the dead relative. So just to get your bird's eye view of the sukkah, you have a bow tie here, Minohani Mili. The emphasis here, the focus is on Kohen Gadol. And when you get to Mem Ches Omid Aleph in the middle of the Omid, you see the Gemara mentioning Ashkechon Kohen Gadol. And in a bow tie, you see Nazir Minolan. Where do you see the Nazir being allowed to defile himself for the sake of burial of a mace mitzvah? So now we start the Gemara. Maybe we should point out that we have a pasuk written on the side, which reads from Vayikra Perichov Aleph Pasuk Yud Aleph, dealing with a Kohen Gadol. It says, "I'll call Nafshes Meis Lo Yavoi, the Aviv Liimoi Lo Yitama. He shall not have any contact with the dead." And it's a very inclusive pasuk. It says all Nafshes Meis. So wouldn't that include even one's father and mother? Well, it should include them. And then the pasuk delineates not father nor mother, and hence you have already a feeling of extra words that will then reveal halachas. Mino hani mili de tonu rabbanan. From where do we know that the Kohen Gadol is allowed to metame to a meis mitzvah? Bear in mind, it's going to take a long time for the Gemara to develop all of these points. You'll see, as far as the Kohen Gadol is concerned, at the bottom line of this Omid, the end of this Brisa, you'll see a reference to the Tumah of the Kohen Gadol for the purpose of the meis mitzvah. It says, "I'll call nafshis meis lo yavo." B'makos of Medaber, the warning upon a Kohen Gadol not to defile himself to the dead, who is it talking about? If you were to think it's to, with a reference to unrelated people, that he shouldn't attend funerals of people from the general public, well, Kal v'chomer hu, that could be figured out through Kal v'chomer logic. Uma Kohen Hedyo. Mind you, the common Kohen who is allowed to metame, and some will tell you not only allowed but is obligated to defile himself to the close relatives that are listed in the Chumash, eino metame l'rechokim, the common Kohen is not allowed to defile himself to the general public. Kohen Gadol she'eino metame l'krovim, the Kohen Gadol who is restricted from defiling to relatives, eino din she'eino metame l'rechokim, and it's obvious he's not allowed to defile himself to people from the general public. So when the pasuk by the Kohen Gadol says, "I'll call nafshes meis lo yavo," a warning not to defile himself to nafshes meis, you don't need that pasuk to warn against rechokim. Ela b'krovim hakosuv medaber. The pasuk says, "I'll call nafshes meis lo yavo," do not defile yourself, the Kohen Gadol, to close relatives. Well, then, once close relatives are accounted for by that phrase, why does the pasuk go on to mention a close relative? It mentions le'aviv. So it has the following purpose. U'le'aviv hu di'eino metame, ho metame hu le'meis mitzvah. It is only to aviv, meaning the close relative, that he's not allowed to defile himself. But to a meis mitzvah, he is allowed to defile himself. The Gemara continues at the top of Daf Mem Ches. We have another word in that pasuk with the Kohen Gadol. Uli'imo. What about the reference to the warning against defilement to one's, to a Kohen Gadol's deceased mother? What she, as we pointed out, was included in Al Kol Nafshei Smeis Lo Yavo. So why does it specify mother? Answer: L'gzeres Shava L'chide Rebbe. It's needed for the Gzeres Shava featured by Rebbe. You notice we have a long Tanaic source. On the side of the Gemara, we have a note, a no say a topic heading, which reads Gzeir Shavu de Rebbe Nazir v'Kohen Gadol Muzharim Rak al Tumas Meis v'lo al Negoyim v'Ziva. The restriction of defilement with regard to a Nazir and Kohen Gadol is restricted to the realm of defilement to the dead, but not with regard to, let's say, tzara'as, or to other bodily emissions that we call ziva. If a Kohen Gadol is in the presence of a person that has tzara'as or has ziva, and they touch them, they are not in violation of a Torah precept. It might render them Kohen Gadol Tomei for a time being, and the Nazir is Tomei as a result of contact with the Negoyim or Ziva, but that's not what the Torah warns against. And that point, as it applies to both, you will see is learned from Emo. And we continue now in the Gemara. Tesanya, Rebbe Oimer, Gabi Nozir, Bemoisom, Eino Metame, Avo Metame, Hu Linigom, Uluzivosom. The Pasuk, in the case, in the context of Nozir, says, and this is found in Bamidbar, Perek Vov, Pasuk Vov, Pasuk Zayin, I should say, it says, La'ove v'limo lo'ochiv l'choyso lo yitamo, lohem bemosom. So the word bemosam is a word that you find in the context of the Nazir, and we infer that the restriction is bemosam. That means death. So bemosam eino metame. He's not allowed. The Nazir is not allowed to defile himself to death. However, avol mitame hu lenigom ulezivasam. If the Nazir's father, or the father of Nazir's mother, one of the relatives that are mentioned in that pasuk happened to be Mitzoyroim, Negoyim, or Negoyim is a reference to Tzaras, or Zivasam, other types of bodily emissions that result in Tuma, the Nazir is not warned against exposure to that kind of Tuma. The Ein Li Elo B'Nazir. Well, the word B'Mosam, which is the inference point, that's stated by Nazir. B'Kohen Gadol Minayin. How do I know the same to apply to a Kohen Gadol? Namely, that a Kohen Gadol's restriction is only with regard to Tumas Meis, not to Nigom and Zivasam. The Gemara answers, Amris, Lo Yomar Imo B'Kohen Gadol Shein Tamud Lomar. But the Torah remains silent from stating Imo in the case of Kohen Gadol. The pasuk we already saw from Vayikra Perichov Aleph. Let the Torah not write Imo by the Kohen Gadol. It's not really necessary. Sherei kal v'chomer hu. I could have figured out that a Kohen Gadol is not to defile himself to mother through kal v'chomer logic. And here the Gemara presents that kal v'chomer logic. Uma im v'mokoim shekoin hedyot. Mitame le'ochiv me'oviv, ein kohen gadol mitame le'oviv. A common kohen is allowed to defile himself to his brother, provided the brother is from a common father. A kohen gadol is not allowed to defile himself to the father who is, we'll say, the source of the closeness of that particular kind of half brother. Mokom she'ein kohen hedyot mitame le'ochiv me'imo. A kohen hedyot is not allowed if he has a half brother from a common mother. In other words, motherhood is not strong enough to create a brotherly bond. Eino din she'ein kohen gadol mitame le'imo. And all the more so, the kohen gadol cannot mitame to his mother. So, as far as a Kohen Gadol defiling himself to mother, do I need a pasuk to spell that out? No. I could have figured out from this kal v'chomer logic. Im zochiso mehadin, if one is then successful in concluding that mehadin means through the logic, the kal v'chomer logic, Ma Talmud Lomer Imo B'Kohen Gadol? Why does the Torah spell out that the Kohen Gadol shall not defile himself to his mother? Mufne. It's an extra word. It's available. Lahakish v'lodun heimenu gzeiro shava. It is a word that's, we'll say, stuck in deliberately by the Almighty. And through the oral tradition, we know it's there for word comparison purposes. So I know that the word emo is found by Kohen Gadol, and it's quite extra over there. That's what the word mufne implies. And what do we do now? Ne'emar emo b'nozir, ne'emar emo b'Kohen Gadol. I find the word emo in both topics, by Kohen Gadol and by Yikra Perek Chaf Aleph, and by the nozir that we just made reference to in Sefer Bamidbar. So as we said, ne'emar emo b'nozir, ne'emar emo b'Kohen Gadol, the emo by nozir in Bamidbar Perek Vav Posuk Zayin, Imo B'Kohen Gadol, we saw in Vayikra, Perek Chof Aleph, Posuk Yud Aleph, Ma Imo in Ha'omor B'Nozir, just like Imo in the case of Nozir, what do we know about the Nozir? B'Moisam Eino Metame Avo Metame Hu B'Venigamu L'Zimosam. From the word B'Mosam, we inferred above that the restriction is only defilement to the dead, not a restriction on Nigoyim and Ziva. Af Imo Ha'omur B'Kohen Gadol, so too we will understand the same concept by Kohen Gadol. B'moisam Eino Metame Avo Metame L'Nigom U'L'Zivosam. That is what we'll refer to henceforth as the Gzeirah Shava of Rebbe. So try to remember that Gzeirah Shava of Rebbe happens to be the din concerning nigom v'zivosam. Ashkechon Kohen Gadol. Up till this point, then, we have found the source we were looking for, that a Kohen Gadol is allowed to defile himself for the sake of a meis mitzvah. Nozir minolon. What about the nozir? Desanya. We have a Tanaic source. Note that this is a rather long Tanaic source. And as far as where we will eventually see meis mitzvah, so we're going to see that. I dare say you'll see it along the way. We should note the psukim that are relevant to the nozir. We made already a little reference to it. On the side of our Gemara, we've included Bamidbar, Perek Vav, Pasuk Vav, and then Pasuk Zayin. Let's read the psukim ahead of time. Notice on the side, Kol Yemei Haziro Lashem Al Nefesh Meis Lo Yavo, which seems to be a fairly general pasuk, that during his nazirus he should not encounter the dead. And then, once again, the pasuk starts to detail, Li'ovev Ulimo Li'ochiv Lachoiso Lo Yitamo Lo'em B'moisam Hinezer Lekov Al Roshoi. And after we saw pasuk Vav, the general warning, the pasuk Zion gets into the details. All these close relatives are those upon to whom the nozir is not allowed to defile himself. The Gemara, Desanya, Kol Yemei Aziru Lashem Al Nefesh Meis Lo Yavo. There's Gra points out that you could actually read this without including the word meis, because the word mace will be darshaned later, so that maybe the better reading is Kol Yemei Haziru Lashem Al Nefesh Lo Yavo, that during his nazirus he should not encounter nefesh. Well, shouldn't encounter nefesh. It would seem there's a reference to the dead, even without using the word mace. So Shomea Ani Afilu Nefesh Behema B'Mashma. Well, maybe the nozir is warned not to touch the carcass of a dead animal. Kinyan Shinema, the word nefesh we find with regard to animals. It says, Maken nefesh behema. So, is that to be understood? That a nozir shall not experience defilement, we call tumas nevela, defilement to a carcass? Talmud Lomar, Al nefesh meis lo yavo. The pasuk doesn't say just nefesh; it says nefesh meis lo yavo, and that expression nefesh meis that's relevant or pertinent only to a human being. That's Benefesh Odom HaKosuv Medaber. Rabbi Shmuel Omer. And when you see names, it's helpful to somehow try to remember that later in the sugya, reference will be made to some of these names, as I say, later. So here it's good to see them at the source. Rabbi Shmuel says, Eino Tzorach. You don't need Nefesh Meis to exclude from prohibition the carcass of an animal. There's another way to understand that he's not part of that, of the tumah restriction. Harehu Omer, the Pasuk said, Lo Yavo. It says in our Pasuk Vav, it said, Kol Yimei Hazira Lashem Al Nefesh Meis Lo Yavo. It could have then said, Al Nefesh Lo Yavo, and I still wouldn't have thought animal, because the expression Lo Yavo is Benefoshos Hametamois Bebia Akosub Medab. Bebia means entrance. It's only those kinds of dead that would impart tumor by being in the same room, under the same overhang. That's called Tumas Oihel. Tumas Oihel has relevance only to human beings, not to animals. Carcasses of animals do communicate Tumas Nevela, through touching or through supporting, carrying them. That's called Mago and Maso. So from the fact that the Torah in the Nozir speaks about Lo Yavo, I understand we're talking about the kind of dead that impart Tumas Oihel. The Pasuk said, Le'oviv uli'imo. Once I know that the Nozir is not allowed to have any contact with the dead, why does the Torah say, Oviv inimo? Why does it specify these individuals? That he is, so we say, Le'oviv uli'imo eino metame, avo metame hu le'meis mitzvah. And you can see how we've emphasized this with a dashed underline. This more or less is the, let's say, the original purpose, the main purpose for bringing in this source, to show how, from the words of Avimo written by the Nozir is allowed to metama himself to a mace mitzvah. To of Avimo, father, mother, no, but yes, to a mace mitzvah. The Gemara now, this Tanaic source has a unique structure to it, and on the side you can see a double underline is featured, highlighting the expression Ad Shelo Yomar Yeshli Bedin. The Brisa will do this here. You'll see it on the top of Omid Beis as well. Meaning, instead of citing the Pasuk, I could have arrived at this conclusion through logic that a Nozir can metame to a Meis Mitzvah. So let's see what this attempt suggests. Ad Shelo Yomar Yeshli Bedin means, by regarding the Nozir, instead of actually using a scriptural reference that the Nozir can defile to the Meis Mitzvah, I could have arrived at that through logic. And here it is. Uma Kohen Gadol Shekedushas Kedushas Olam Mitame LeMeis Mitzvah. A Kohen Gadol who has permanent sanctity, and yet he's allowed to defile himself to the Meis Mitzvah, Nozir Shein Kedushas Kedushas Olam, the Nozir that is only of a temporary sanctity, Eino Din Shemitama LeMeis Mitzvah, all the more so, he would be allowed to defile himself to the Meis Mitzvah. Well, that's Bedin. That was the word we used a couple lines ago. Yeshli Bedin, that's Kal V'chomer logic. So Bedin is logic, Kal V'chomer logic. So at this point, then, I don't need Oviv inimo for that conclusion. One says, lo, that's not so. We will now reject the Kal V'chomer logic. Im Amris B'Kohen Gadol, if you're going to say the Kohen Gadol can metame to the Meis Mitzvah, I can say, yes, he can, but not a Nozir. Shekein Eino Mevi Korban Al Tumaso, a Kohen Gadol who becomes defiled, he doesn't bring any, let's say, atonement sacrifices for his defilement. Tomar ben Nozir, Shemevi Korban Al Tumaso. A Nozir who becomes defiled in general has to bring atonement sacrifices for his defilement. Hoyelu Mevi Korban Al Tumaso, since the Nozir has to bring sacrifices as a result of his defilement, Lo Yitame LeMeis Mitzvah. Maybe the Nozir shouldn't be allowed to defile himself for the purpose of the Meis Mitzvah either. Talmud Lomar, Li'oviv uli'imo lo yitamo. Avometama v'meis mitzvah. Well, therefore, you see the urgency of having a pasuk from which we can infer the permission, the allowance of defilement for a nazir for the purpose of burying a meis mitzvah. O eino mitame l'oviv ulimo avol o eino. Let's point out that we're going to try some other, we'll say, suggested alternative. It could be o eino mitame l'oviv ulimo avol yitame l'shar meisim. With regard to the nazir, maybe the law is he's not mitame to father, mother, but to members of the general public, shar meisim, rechikim, other people, he is allowed to defile himself. The Gemara rejects that. Amris kal v'chomer. That can be rejected through kal v'chomer logic. Uma kohen hedyot shemetame lekroivim eino metame l'shar meisim. A kohen hedyot, a common kohen, is allowed to defile himself to the close relatives, father, mother, brother, sister, etc. But he's not allowed to defile himself to members of the general public. Nazir she'eino metame lekroivim. Nazir is even more restricted right at the outset. He can't metame himself to relatives. Eino din shelo yetame l'shar meisim. Then all the more so, it's obvious that a nazir cannot defile himself to other meisim. Ho ma talmud lomar. We're at the top of Omid Beis, Mem Ches Omid Beis. Ho ma talmud lomar le'oviv uli'imo. So then, what is the role of oviv and imo by the nazir? As we said earlier, Li'oviv uli'imo hu the lo metame ava metame hu la meis mitzvah. The nazir is restricted from defiling himself to even his closest of relatives, but for a meis mitzvah, he is allowed to defile himself. Well, ad shelo yomar yesh li bedin. Again, you see the same attempt here to say that, you know, without the pasuk, I can come to this conclusion with logic. Now, here, we're not going to be using, say, kal v'chomer logic, but we're going to use another approach called ma motzinu or binyan av, a comparison type logic. Nemru klolos b'kohen gadol, v'nemru klolos b'nazir. The term klolos means general categories. Like you see often in the Torah, the word kol meaning all. And Rashi is out of place. He's found, Rashi that's relevant to this section of Gemara is found at the bottom of Omen Aleph. Klolos b'kohen gadol is a reference to the pasuk that says, al kol nafshes meis lo yavo. So you have a general teaching by the kohen gadol. And v'nemru klolos b'nazir, you also have a general type pasuk. Even though the word kol doesn't appear, it's said by the nazir, al nefesh meis, which is a mashma, which implies all the dead. So you have klolos by kohen gadol, you have klolos b'nazir, ma klolos amuros b'kohen gadol, just like with regard to the kohen gadol, as we proved earlier, back on daf mem zayin omid beis. What do we know about the kohen gadol? He is le'aviv eino metame, ava metame le'meis mitzvah, av klolos amuros benazir, le'aviv eino metame, ava metame le'meis mitzvah. So by this type of comparison between the kohen gadol and the nazir, we could figure out the nazir being allowed to metame to the meis mitzvah. Do I need the words oviv and imo in the context of nazir to be spelled out? Well, o klach l'derech zu, or possibly go in this direction. Nemru klolos b'koyin hedya, v'nemru klolos b'nazir. You find a klal, a general type pasuk by a common Kohen, and you find by a Nazir. Ma klolos amuros b'kohen hedyot mitamel aviv. Just like by the Kohen hedyot, where there's a chlal type pasuk, yet he is allowed to defile himself to close relatives, to father, for example. Af klolos amuros b'nazir mitamel aviv. Maybe by the Nazir, the same thing. We'll treat him with the Kohen hedyot standard. Talmud Lomar, therefore, the Torah says the Oviv Ulimo lo yitamo. The Nazir is not allowed to defile himself to Oviv and Imo. In other words, the Nazir is not like a Kohen Hedyot. Ha lemeis mitzvah metamen. But he is able to defile himself to a meis mitzvah. The Gemara immediately asks, there's a problem, there's a hole in this logic. I need Oviv that we just mentioned. Lomar she'ein metamel Oviv. I need it for the very basic halacha that he is not allowed to defile himself to father. In other words, how do you know that a Nazir is not to be treated with the Kohen Hedyot standard? With the Kohen Hedyot, we know he's allowed to defile himself to father. How do you know by a Nazir he's not allowed to defile himself to father? Well, the Torah has to spell it out. It has to spell out that he, the Nazir, is not allowed to defile to father. Well, if it has to be spelled out for that purpose, it's not available. It's not an extra word from which we can infer that he's allowed to metame to a meis mitzvah. So, we're kind of like back at the drawing board. If you remember when we started the source, I was a little hesitant to saying at what point we would really come to the conclusion that the Nazir is allowed to metame to meis mitzvah. I was fully aware that this was going to come up. Ella, so we come back, as I said, we start all over again, so to speak, using the words, the relatives that are specified by the Nazir, and we read as follows. La'aviv. The word La'aviv is featured in Bamidbar Perek Vav, Pasuk Zayin, Lomar She'ein Metam La'aviv, that a Nazir is not allowed to defile himself to his father. Li'achiv, another relative, brother, is spelled out in the Pasuk. Why is it spelled out? Eino Metame, Ha Lameis Mitzvah Metame. From Achiv, we entitle ourselves to infer that which we were looking for all along. Uli'imo, the imo relative mother mentioned by Nazir, l'gzeiro shava l'chederebi. I need for the gzeiro shava purposes that Rebbe featured at the top of Omid Aleph. If you recall, the topic of nigom and zivom, that the Nazir and Kohen Gadol are not prohibited in tumas other than tumas meis. Ula achoisoi. What is that spelled out for? Lichiditanya. It's needed for the following source. Desanya. La achoso matamud lomar. Why does the Torah say that the Nazir is not allowed to defile himself to his sister? Is that not obvious at this point? Hare shaholach lishchoit es pischoi velomul es beno. So imagine a Nazir is on his way on the 14th of Nisan, which is the date for the slaughtering of a Korban Pesach. Korban Pesach is a mitzvah saseh, and it carries with it, for one who deliberately doesn't do it, a very serious penalty, kores. And he happens to have a child that's uncircumcised, and in order to do a Korban Pesach, v'lomul es b'no, he also has to circumcise his son. The lack of circumcision is a restrictive feature in doing a Korban Pesach. So you have a Nazir on the 14th of Nisan on his way to do the Korban Pesach and to circumcise his son. V'shoma shelei shemei slomeis. And he hears that one of his relatives died. Yochol yitame? Should he go and to the funeral of that relative? And if he does that, he's then not going to be able to do the Korban Pesach. Amris lo yitamo. Well, the Pasuk says, by the Nazir, It said there, l'achoso lo yitamo. He's not to defile himself. Yochel lo yitame l'meis mitzvah. Should by the same token, this nazir that's on his way to do the Pesach and mal his son, should he not tend to an unaccounted for body? Talmud lomar l'achoso. L'achoso hu deino mitama ho l'meis mitzvah mitame. So l'achoso comes to, we'll deal with this rather pressing situation where he must defile himself for the meis mitzvah, even though it's going to be at the expense of his performing Korban Pesach. Rabbi Akiva Oimer, another new name we had mentioned before, Rabbi Shmuel, now we're mentioning Rabbi Akiva Oimer. The Pasuk by Nozir says, Pasuk Vav read, Kol Yemei Aziru Lashem Al Nefesh Meis Lo Yavo. Rabbi Kiva darshans the Pasuk as follows: Nefesh Elu HaRechokim, Meis Elu HaKroivim. The Nazir is warned not to defile himself to members of the general community, not to relatives. Li'oviv Uli'imo Eino mitame, afa mitame hu lemeis mitzvah. We dashed under the line leimo because according to some of the meforshim, you see according to Rashi that imo really isn't being darshened over here. It's just like brought along. What the role of imo is, that's featured later in the Gemara. So the emphasis is really on oviv. That the pasuk by Nazir says to father, not no tuma, but yes for the sake of a meis mitzvah. Li'ochiv. Shim hoya kohen gadol v'hu nazir. This is Rabbi Akiva's take on the word lachiv. A person who, let us say, has a double kedusha. He is both a kohen gadol and at the same time he's a kohen gadol that had accepted a nazir vow upon himself. So he has two kedushas. We say lachiv einu metama avol metama hu lemeismis. Even though he has two sanctities on him, nevertheless, the urgency of burying the meis mitzvah is so overwhelming that even though he has a double sanctity upon him, he defiles himself. Le'achoso. Now, what we should point out is that this would be like a dibur hamaschil. This is essentially a quote that serves as a lead into a Gemara discussion. So we read this as what we saw before. La'achoso, kidesanya, hareshoy hoylech lishchot es pischo, v'lomol es beno v'chule. The word la'achoso described the fellow on his way. This was before we saw Rabbi Kiva. The Tanakhama said, la'achoso tells me about a nazir on his way to do a Korban Pesach and encounters a meis mitzvah. He must forego his Korban Pesach efforts in order to bury the meis mitzvah. Ula Rabbi Akiva, Gezera Shava de Rebbe Minole. The Vechule of the quote that we saw just now is essentially telling us that we want to focus on Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva, in our, let's say, first reading, he said that Ovav and Imo is needed to tell me that he's allowed to metame to meis mitzvah. That was Rabbi Akiva's source. So, according to Rabbi Akiva, that Imo seems to be part of the limud for meis mitzvah. I know we made a comment before in the name of Rashi that it was not really focused on, but at this point we want to know, where does Rabbi Akiva learn the Gezeirah Shavah of Rebbe? The Gezeirah Shavah of Rebbe was based on the word Imo. We didn't see Rabbi Akiva using Imo for that. So where does he know that a Nazir is allowed to metama to Nigom and Zivosam? Omar Loch, Kevon di Omar Mar, since it was said earlier, Im hoyo kohen gadol v'nazir, the person has a double kedusha, le'achiveinu metama avo metama hu lemeis mitzvah. He must take care of the meis mitzvah even though he has two kedushas. And that was learned from Ochiv. Well, ma li kohen gadol l'chudei, ma li nazir v'kohen gadol. As far as Rabbi Akiva is concerned, it doesn't matter whether we're we're compromising one Kedusha or compromising two Kedushas. So now if Ochiv is going to teach me the principle of defilement for the purpose of Meis Mitzvah, that you can compromise a double Kedusha, well, I don't need Ochiv and Emo anymore. I don't need Ochiv and Emo to tell me about a straightforward Nazir being metame to a Meis Mitzvah. So therefore, Ochiv and Emo now are open expressions, and we can use them for the Gezerah Shavah. So once I've established the role of Ochiv to allow Meis Mitzvah, it goes without saying that if it's only a question of a single Kedusha, certainly he can do Meis Mitzvah. Therefore, the expressions of an Emo are now open for Gzero Shavah purposes. Ula Rabbi Shmuel, and here we mentioned him earlier, he used the word Ochiv to conclude Meis Mitzvah. If you take a look at the Rosh commentary, he explains Ula Rabbi Shmuel Kain Golo V'Nozir Minole Dila Oviv. Rabbi Shmuel used Oviv Miboyle Ligufe. He needed that to tell me that a Nozir is not allowed to metama to father, and not to compare Nozir to a Kohen Hedyot who is allowed to metama to father. Le'imo, le'gzera shava. He used Imo for the gzera shava of Rebbe. Le'ochiv, he used the word ochiv, shemitama le'meis mitzvah. So, according to Rebbe Shmuel, who used ochiv already, kayen gadol v'hu nozir minole, where would Rebbe Shmuel learn this idea of the double kedusha being able to be compromised for the meis mitzvah? The Gemara says, Kevon deshora rachmona chad lav gabi meis mitzvah. Since the Torah allows one negative command to be compromised for the purpose of meis mitzvah, in other words, the negative command of a nozir not to defile himself, but we compromise that for the benefit of the meis mitzvah, Mali chad lav, mali tre lavin. Well, what difference does it make then if it's one lav or it's two lavim? The lav, the negative command concerning a kohen gadol as well. So once we have precedent for compromising, the fact that there's a double kedusha doesn't bother us. Achoso lomali. What does he do with achoso? Now, if we look in the Rashi, three lines from the bottom, Lachosol Amali Klomar, Yim Kendler, Bishmuel, Nafkale, Koyngolo, Venozer, Mishul, Mali, Chad, Lav, Mali, Tre, Lavi, if Rabbi Shmuel is willing to, say, treat lightly the issue of a double sanctity, then Achoso Lomali, the Mishri, Pesach, Umilo, what do I need Achoso for to tell me that which we said before, that he can compromise for the benefit of doing the Meis Mitzvah, compromise his mitzvah of the Pesach and maling and circumcising his son. We see already that we're allowing compromising of other mitzvahs for the purpose of the Meis Mitzvah. So, achoso lomali, what do I need achoso for at this point? Up till this point, we thought, as we said earlier, that achoso was to describe a case of a nozir on his way to shecht the korban pesach and to mal his son. That we need a special scriptural reference to allow him to compromise those mitzvahs for the sake of the meis mitzvah. But at this point, from this approach of mali chad lav mali trei lav, and I can figure that out also. The Gemara says, no, I wouldn't have figured that out. Our leniency, that was up till this point with regard to overriding negative commands. The negative command of do not defile yourself. Avomilo Pesach Dekores. These are two unique positive commands, milah, circumcising, and doing a Korban Pesach. If one deliberately does not do those mitzvahs, they subject themselves to the kores punishment. Wow, so it's very important, you would say, that that a person does his Korban Pesach. So lo yitama la meis mitzvah, I would think that he should not defile himself for the purpose of the meis mitzvah. Komash malon, therefore I do need achoso to tell me that he can defile himself, even though it's going to come at the expense of these mitzvahs that carry with them, otherwise, of course, a kores penalty. The Gemara continues at the top of Daf Mem Tes Omen Aleph. Ulu Rabbi Akiva, Michti, Lo Shno Koin Godo Lichudei, Velo Shno Koin Godo Vuhu Nozir, Nafko Mi Leochiv. We anticipated this problem earlier, and here we're seeing it in the Gemara text. Rabbi Akiva saw from the word ochiv that for the purpose of meis mitzvah, even if a person carries a double sanctity, kohen gadol and a nazir, he is allowed to defile himself for the purpose of meis mitzvah. We glance together at Rashi at the top. Rabbi Akiva mifti lo shno kohen gadol luchudei v'lo shno kohen gadol v'nazir iko l'mashma mivela ochiv. From the word lochiv, we see that these sanctities can be compromised for the meis mitzvah. The hashta kohen gadol v'nozir mitama the meis mitzvah. Mind you, with the two sanctities, he can defile himself. Kol shekein kohen gadol l'chudei. Certainly, if he's just a kohen gadol, ula oviv nami di eno mitame mashmale me'al kol nafshes meis kidaliel. The prohibition of the nozir defining himself to father, that you don't need the word father for that. That is from the pasuk of al kol nafshei smeis. Ha de kosav rachmona la'aviv limo lebosar hachi. After saying al kol nafshei smeis lo yavo, then why spell out la'aviv limo by the kohen gadol? Lomali ha. Ka shaminon lo me'al nefesh meis. I could have learned the prohibition from the pasuk of nefesh meis. The pasuk nefesh meis we happen to see by the nozir. But whichever way you look at it, the al nefesh meis or al kol nafshos meis, that already will include father and mother. So why spell them out? So now the Gemara. Ulu Rabbi Akiva michti, lo shno kohen gadol lechudei, v'lo shno kohen gadol v'hu nazir, nafka mila achiv. It doesn't matter whether he's just a kohen gadol or he has a double sanctity kohen gadol and nazir. We learn from achiv that for the purpose of meis mitzvah, he can defile himself. Li'ovav v'limo lomali, why spell out ovav v'limo? Tzrichi. I need them. And we have a long tzrichi marking. And all of these lines explain why I need them to be spelled out. The kosav oviv, had the Torah said that the nozir, or the kohen gadol, cannot metame to father, havi amino, hainu taima delo metamele. You know why he can't metame to his father? Mishum de chazoka bi'almahu. Very interesting concept. How does a person know that a man is his father? It's a chazok. A person doesn't know it with, we'll say, 10-finger clarity. It's an assumption that a man who lives together with children in the same house for many years and live as father and son, that's his father. That's called a chazok, a given status. Avol imo, diyadin diodise, Litamala. With regard to a mother, in theory, one can say that this woman is the mother. She gave birth to this child. In theory, you can say that with certainty. So, since you have that stronger level of connection between child and mother, maybe the Kohen Gadol, the Nazir, should metamet to her. So that by saying, Father, no, I wouldn't know the prohibition of Tumah to mother, because of Rachmon Imo, and had the Torah prohibited defilement to mother, Havamina Imo lo letame lo, the love Ozil Zaro Basra. When it comes to descendants and considerations of genealogy, a child is traced not from where his mother is from, not from the mother's family. This has to do with certainly with tribal association. If a mother comes from one tribe, there are 12 tribes that make up the people of Israel. If a mother comes from one tribe and she married a man from another tribe, the child is associated with the father's tribe. So I would have had that said, the Torah said not to defile to mother. Havamino ima lo letamelo delav ozil zaro basra. Her seed, her children don't follow her. Avolaviv kevan diomamar. Regarding a father, the pasuk says lemishbechosam levesa voisam. That families and genealogy are traced base avosam according to the father's household. Emo letamale. I would have thought that that is of such significance that the Kohen Gadol or the Nazir would defile to the father. Komash malon. Therefore, we have to be told father as well. No defilement. Ula Rebbe Akiva. The Alkol Nafshe Smeis Lo Yovel Lomeli. According to Rabbi Kiva, this posuk by the Kohen Gadol, what does he derive from it? Let's glance at Rashi, four lines from the end of Rashi. There's a little star we have. Ule Rabbi Kiva Diyamar Gabi Nozir Nefesh Elu Rechoikim Meis Elu Kroivim. Rabbi Kiva darshened the prohibition of defilement to relatives from the word meis. Hi, and that's a posit by Nozir. Hi, al kol nafshei smeis tichsiv gabi kohen gadol lomali. What does he learn from the posuk of, we'll say, the similar type posuk that you find by the Kohen Gadol? What does Rabbi Akiva do with that? We continue at the top of Mem Tes Omid Beis. He breaks the posuk down as follows. Al kol lafuke rechoikim. Mace lafuke kroivim. The nozir, that is the Kohen Gadol, is not allowed to metama to unrelated people. He's not allowed to metama to relatives. Nafshos, the word nafshos, and here we're going to follow the gears of the Rosh. Le'isuye comes to include the following case. Revias dam shiotsu mishnei mesim shemetama bo'el. A revias dam is a liquid measure of blood. It's called the minimum amount of blood for a person to survive on. If a revias of blood comes from a singular corpse, we know that that imparts death defilement, tumas oihel. Being in the same room with a revias of blood from a singular corpse is metama just like a corpse. What happens if you have that measure of blood, a revias of dam, but it comes from two separate bodies? This posuk of nafshos, al kol nafshos meis, tells me that even that kind of blood, one revias that comes mishnei meisim, that's metame boyel shenemar, al kol nafshos meis lo yavo. You see, in this posuk, the word nafshos is the plural. That even if the blood comes from two bodies and you have one revius, that will also impart tumas meis. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.